Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Monday, August 6, 2018. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we are on page 91, reading the second and third paragraph, beginning with When Your Man Is Better and ending with Get Him to Tell Some of His. Today's readers are Stacy W. for the 12 Steps, Nan K. for the 12 Traditions, Karen R., Kathleen O., and Kathy Jo P. The reference number for yesterday's special edition meeting is for Sunday, August 5th, 2018, is 11749. That's 11,749. The reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for August 6, 2018, is 11751. That's 11,750. BOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stacy W. to please read the 12 steps.
Stacy from Wisconsin. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you very much, Stacy W., and maybe a little helper there, too. Very nice. I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, I'm Nan K., the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Nan Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume the study of the Big Book on page 91. Reading the second and third paragraphs, and I will ask Karen R. to please begin reading.
Hello, good morning. My name is Karen R. from North Carolina, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. When your man is better, the doctor might suggest a visit from you. Though you have talked with the family, leave them out of the first discussion. Under these conditions, your prospect will see he is under no pressure. He will feel he can deal with you without being nagged by his family. Call on him while he is still jittery. He may be more receptive when depressed. See your man alone if possible. At first, engage in general conversation. After a while, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Tell them enough about your drinking habits, symptoms, and experiences to encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. You will thus get a better idea of how you ought to proceed. If he is not communicative, give him a sketch of your drinking career up to the time you quit, but say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. If he is in a serious mood, dwell on the troubles liquor has caused you, being careful not to moralize or lecture. If his mood is light, tell him humorous stories of your escapades. Get him to tell some of his. Okay, so it's always an honor to be able to read for this group. For this group is what has saved me. And the thing that drew me in to this group was the experience that I heard on the phone line. I identified in with all the eating in trouble, with all of the feelings that came along with stuffing your feelings, with all the unmanageability and chaos. I identified in with so much that I knew, yes, I belonged here. So this is what I like to do for other people. I want to be that example. I want to share my experience, strength, and hope. I want to share what it was like to be a compulsive overeater, to be a bulimic, to be an anorexic, because I have those experiences. I have those horrors. I have those memories that for a while there, I kind of just blocked it out. But you know, like when I listened and I listened in and I identified, all these memories started coming back to me. And yes, I knew I belonged here. I belonged in this beautiful program, and that gave me such hope. So if you are new and you're wondering, try to identify and not to compare. Try to identify in. And I love here where it talks about be careful not to moralize or lecture. And no nagging, you know? You don't want to be a nagging family. But I do not want to go beyond my time limit. So with that, I'm going to pass, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Sharon R. Who else would like to comment on these two paragraphs? That one's on mute.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Penny C.
Penny C. And did I hear Ginger C?
You did. Thanks, Elaine.
Okay.
Rebecca
Anyone
F.
Else? Rebecca F. Anyone else?
Deb G.
Was it Cat T?
No, Deb, as in Deborah.
Oh, Deb. Thank you, Deb.
Holly.
Okay,
one.
Holly B. Okay, great. Let's go with that. Kathleen O, Penny C, Ginger C, Rebecca F, Deb T, and Holly B. Please go ahead, Kathleen O.
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And these paragraphs are great because it's telling us what to do. And, you know, turn the talk to some phase of drinking. Encourage him to speak of himself. If he wishes to talk, let him do so. And so this is telling us to, you know, listen first. And it's kind of like knowing when to listen and when to talk. And so I always, you know, try to give a person an opportunity to talk about, you know, why they're there. And if they don't, then I'll sort of give a, you know, they talk about this sketch. I'll sort of give an idea of what it's about without giving all the details, because it's telling us, saying nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished. So, you know, and I think there's keywords in here, you know, we don't pressure them. And, you know, I can't force this down someone's throat, even though I know what recovery tastes like. This new person may be carrying around extra weight physically, and I can tell they're miserable, but if they're not ready, they're not ready. So, you know, I can have absolutely nothing in common with another compulsive overeater and be able to talk to them for hours relating to habits, symptoms, and experience. And, you know, my experience can cross the barriers of race, religion, political views. It can cross the barriers of everything, because another real compulsive overeater is going to be understanding what I'm, you know, talking about, and they're going to be able to relate and agree. And I know that was my experience when I talked to someone in the beginning. And we can convey this understanding as no normal eater can. And to be able to pass on a program that works is really what carrying this message is all about. And it's not, you know, when we do meet someone, I mean, I kind of refer to Bill's story. You know, he talks about his story. And, you know, he talks about when he's lonely, he turns to alcohol. You know, all through his story, he's justifying and rationalizing his drinking. He's in denial about it. And talks about how it was taking a, you know, it would be an exhilarating, it was an exhilarating part of his life at one point, and but he couldn't, he kept thinking how, you know, he thought he could control it, but then he'd have this remorse and horror and hopelessness the next morning after a binge. And these are the kinds of things that people can relate to, you know, if I can tell my story to them of what it's like. And, you know, I can't make anyone believe or be willing, but if someone is ready to take that leap of faith, it's really my responsibility to carry this message. This is a message of depth and weight, and it's something we give freely. And I will stop on the note of people come in hopeless, and we're able and, you know, we're ready there to give them some hope. And thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Penny C., you're up next, followed by Ginger C.
Good morning. This is Penny C. Thank you. Elaine, right?
Yes. Nice to hear you.
Oh, hi. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area, and I listened this earlier today, and listening to this passage is read again today, I'm reminded that what my sponsor did and what I try to do, especially with new people to OA, is it's all about identify, identify, identify. Because once someone says, yes, I was like that, yes, I can see myself, boy, we're on our way, you know, that plus the necessity of having a higher power, whatever that might be. And then, you know, I feel so encouraged when folks can get to that stage. And one of the things I do is look at page 5 in Bill's story where it says, you know, liquor became a necessity. It was no longer a luxury. And that paragraph, I asked them to rewrite with their own story. For me, it was binge eating became a necessity. You know, it no longer was a pleasure. It just, I had to keep eating. And I tell them about my story. And it's just like the beginning of this chapter says, what a joy to be able to watch someone else recover. And that's the beginning. I'm always very careful or, you know, kind of concerned when someone will say to me, well, I know that I have a problem, but I'm really not a low bottom. I'm really not, and really not, really not, you know, in other words, not identifying hardly at all with Bill's story or my story. Then, you know, I sometimes I have to say, you know, why don't we just talk for a while until you are ready to identify and admit your powerlessness. It's a hard thing to do, but with God's help, and I stress that we have a power greater than ourselves that can help us to come to those realizations. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Penny C. Ginger C., you're up next, followed by Rebecca F.
Great. Thanks so much, Elaine, for your service this morning. Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And I just love how simple this book is, these clear-cut directions. And now we're into the most important chapter. This is why each and every one of us is here today that's recovered, is because I am to carry this message and to pass it on. And there's very specific directions. And just from the beginning, it says, you know, start off with a general conversation. You know, how many times have I just found a newcomer and I just start going full steam ahead? Just start to get to know them. Hi, how are you? Who are you? Where do you live? You know, a lot of us are obviously on the line and in many different places. And then you tell him enough. Not everything, not your entire story. You're not doing a special edition. You're just telling him enough to try to tap him in. But again, you know, again, these clear directions. It's amazing how I just love to talk. You know, my husband will say, Ginger, wait, why am I talking? Wait, stop. Because like Penny just said, the most important piece for them is identification. And they really resonate head to heart when they start speaking their truth to another. You know, it reminds me when I was actually with my alcohol, but I'd be in the bars talking about my drinking, you know, and it doesn't resonate. It doesn't concede to that place it has to go to. So again, you know, just tell him enough about yourself because you want him to speak. And most importantly, too, when I start working with another, I want to know, are you done? Are you really beaten? Are you surrendering? Or are you just in some pain and you want a little bit of a different experience, but you're not quite sure? Because it's a lot of work for me to sit with you and read line by line through this book. So I get a great chance, too, to see where you are. And if you're asking me a lot of questions, you're giving me a really big red flag that you're not quite there. You may still need more research, and that might be that next bite. Again, that beautiful bite, too, that may convince and really help you to resonate head to heart. And then but it says, say nothing for the moment of how that was accomplished, and Penny sort of touched on that. It is so important, again, to get them to identify in. Do not give them information about how you went through these 12 steps and how this works. They're not ready. They are so not there. They just need to hear experience, strength, and hope, your depth and weight in your story. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Ginger C. Rebecca F., you're up next, followed by Deb T.
Hi, Elaine and everybody. This is Rebecca F. from Connecticut. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I also listened to the first 2 hours this morning, and here I am again because I just love you guys. And this meeting means so much to me. Elaine, I didn't set my timer. So I started thinking about what it was like and how our past becomes our greatest asset. And I was fat my whole life and miserable about it. And I had, you know, a handful of times where I might have been somewhat successful on a diet, but it never stuck. And I went to OA some number of years in the past before this time around, and I went to a number of meetings, and I just didn't get it. You know, I was probably in the food. I would imagine I was, and I don't remember anything about it, really. I just did not get it. I obviously wasn't ready. And then this time, I was on yet another diet, trying to control the amount I ate, and I was having some success. And I tried to control a food item, and I couldn't control it. And this time, the light bulb went on, and I went, oh, my God, I'm powerless over this food item. I can't stop, even though I am having success with the diet. It didn't make any sense. And it dawned on me to go to OA. And my first OA meeting was that night. Well, the first one was an online meeting that minute. And then that night, a face-to-face meeting, I cried through the entire meeting. Thank God they had tissues there. And that was the beginning, you know. That was the turning point for me, was realizing that I was powerless over one specific food item, you know. And the rest started to sink in and make sense. And I didn't want to be crying all the time. So thanks for reminding me what it was like. And I'm so glad it's not like that anymore. And I owe it to all of you. And I'll pass. Thanks.
I'm glad too, Rebecca. Thank you so much. Deb T., you're up next, followed by Holly B.
This is Deb G. Be happy to be here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sorry about that. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater currently in the state of Washington. And one of the things that jumped out at me about this was that we say this is a program of attraction, not promotion. And so I was saying, well, how do we attract people to the program? And I've been in program 14 years, and I have seen the face of hopelessness in so many meetings. You know, when I see that, I want to reach out to these folks. And this chapter helps me figure out a way to create attraction rather than promotion. And one of them is you don't approach people trying to sell them on this program. What you try to do is build somewhat of a bond with them to say that I understand and to show that there's a different way to work on this disease of compulsive overeating. And I do that by helping them identify identifying with their problem to show that we have a similar challenge facing us. The last thing that I needed when I first went into meetings was a lecture on how overeating was a problem or somebody telling me how bad it is. What I really needed was somebody who I perceived understood my suffering and my problem. And I've heard judgment my whole life about overeating, just as the person says in this section, enough nagging. What we need is people who understand our plight, can identify with our plight, and can tell me stories that I can relate to that make me want to join in and say, this is not a program of judgment. This is a program of giving people inspiration and hope. And one of the ways it worked for me is exactly in the instructions in the big book, which is you tell them about your experience. You help them identify with your experience. Say, oh, I didn't know there was anybody else out there who ate the way I did. I didn't know there was anybody else out there who cried and suffered because I couldn't stop eating. And now there's a way to approach folks so that they are attracted to OA instead of, you know, repelled by it. So we build hope, I think, by welcoming hopelessness into the rooms and working with it differently than on the outside of the program. And a sponsor often walks a tightrope between pushing people and encouraging people. So I think it's really important to tell my story to build the connection rather than focus on what the newcomer has to do in the early stages of their recovery. I think this is a fabulous chapter, a fabulous paragraph, and I really like the idea of bringing people in through attraction, not promotion, and helping people identify. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Deb G. Holly B., you're up next, and then we'll take some more shares.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. This is Polly B., grateful to be recovered just for today. Thanks to our higher power and so many generous guides and partners in this program. Oftentimes early on reading the big book, I question why are they explaining all these different variants of alcoholics and drinking and with food. There are so many more variants of compulsive eaters and compulsive food behaviors. And when listening to a new person or someone who's coming back, the details are at first their focus, our terminal uniqueness. And I have to grow my patience and humility every day to just listen and be a witness and not jump in and say, oh, it's food isn't the problem. Food isn't the problem. But I think that history listening is important because when someone hears themselves obsessing over the details of their food and food behaviors, they do come closer to a realization of their powerlessness. And so that's where listening and being a witness is important. And as someone mentioned, there's a fine line between acceptance and controlling and directing. And after someone comes to that minimal realization that they are powerless over their food and food behaviors, then that's step one. And until someone can admit their powerlessness, there's little else I can do to be of service. But what I can do without all the details by identifying with their story is offer experience, strength, and hope, that there is a solution, and there is a recipe for that solution that's in the big book. And the only, all I can do is be an example of someone one day at a time living in recovery, and that the solution works, and it's not about the food and control. It's about freedom from the need to control, the need to know more. And it's not up to me to convince someone else to be willing. They have to be willing to give themselves a chance and to follow these directions and then live in recovery. And that's enough evidence for them to pass the gift on as it was passed on to me, and to live in recovery. And it becomes simple. I am powerless, and there is a solution, and I need to remind myself of that every day, most of all in connection with my higher power and in being open and willing to give this gift away to others who are still suffering. I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Holly B. Today we're reading and commenting on two paragraphs on page 91. The second and third paragraph, beginning with "When your man is better" and ending with "Get him to tell some of his." Who'd like to comment on those two paragraphs?
This is Robin, Los Angeles.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't catch those names. They came in together.
Robin in Los Angeles.
Robin in Los Angeles. Nadia B.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Jenny H.
Jenny H. And we may have time for one more. Perhaps not. So I've got Robin in L.A., Sherry B., maybe Sherry K.B., Nadia B., Deborah G., and Jenny H. Robin, what's the first initial of your last name?
P as in Palmer.
Okay. So, So Robin P, I think maybe it was not Sherry B, but Sarit L. Sorry about that. Nadia B, Deborah G, Jenny H, and if I did hear Sherry too, we'll put you on the end if there's time. Okay. So please go ahead, Robin. You'll be followed by Sarit L.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for a great meeting and for your service. I'm Robin. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, and I love this meeting. And, you know, for me, the only question that my sponsor asked me was, are you desperate enough to go to any lengths to recover? And I wholeheartedly said yes. And that's the grace of and mercy of desperation, that gift of desperation. You know, are you willing to pick up the phone instead of the food to work the steps? And then the willingness to take others through the steps when you've gone through the steps. You know, I've sponsored, a bunch of people at this point, and it's such a disease of selfishness. And I actually didn't think that when I came in. I kept thinking, I'm not selfish. I'm a martyr. You know, I'm overgiven. And it's like, it's such a disease of self-centered fear. And to break through that, it really is living in service for me is what I found. And I feel like it's so important for people to just be able to hit bottom. And sometimes when I've talked with people who are looking for a sponsor, and they'll be, you know, over 300 pounds and can't walk, and they still feel like they haven't hit bottom yet. And I'll think, oh my goodness, oh please God, let them hit bottom. And it's in God's time, their time. I'm not in charge. And so much of my sponsoring has been learning to not be codependent with people and to give, they have their own higher power. It's not me. I'm just a conduit. I'm just passing my experience, strength, and hope the way it was passed on to me. And that's so important, because I've tried to save people a few times, and boy, that does not work, at least for me. And, and it's part of like, the disease, you know, really. So it's just, I get to be a humble servant and just share what was shared with me so generously and freely given. And
you know, I have felt disappointed a couple times when people, I've taken them through the steps and they haven't been, they said they didn't have time to sponsor someone else or that kind of thing. And I've had to work my defensive on it, you know, and just, you know, darn, you know, and it's, I'm not in charge. So I really just get to practice these principles. And the best thing that I can do for my sponsees is to really fully work my own program. And it is really attraction, not promotion. And so I get to embody this recovery and then share it with others. And the other thing that I would say is I've really had to practice making sure that I am living in 10, 11, and 12 so that I'm at that peaceful place and at neutral. And so when I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, I get to text my sponsor, give it to God, and go help someone else. And then I can be of service. Thank you so much. God bless everybody in your recovery as I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin. Sarit L., you're up next, followed by Nadia B.
Hi, do you hear me? It's Sarit L.
I do. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, it's Sarit L., recovered in Montreal. And I think just what I wanted to share over here is my sponsor. I've had many sponsors in these rooms. I've been here for 10 years struggling, and thank God recovered now, coming up to a year of abstinence. And my sponsor had asked me many times if I was done. And I remember not being able to answer with a direct no. I would say, I mean, now I'm done, but what about next week? Or what's going to happen if? Or the mental session's going to come. So, of course, I can't say no for sure. I would just come up with so many things, and my sponsor just kept telling me, are you done? And when I hear in my sponsee's voices, I chuckle. I chuckle when they are not able to answer me straight. And I hear it in their voices. I hear the disease. I hear the denial. But I don't judge, because I've been here, and I've done the same exact thing. I've been here in the rooms for 10 years practicing my step one till I was done and willing to go to any lengths. And I don't know if they are, but time will tell. And I don't have to know, because in the meantime, I'm saving my life every time I sponsor and am of service to someone else. Do I force the program down their, you know, I don't, but they'll come back if they want it eventually. And I also don't throw anybody away, because that's, if they want recovery and they're doing the work, then who's to say that it's not a new experience this time? I don't know what will be and when it will be for anyone. Just, you know, just like those sponsors and fellowship that never gave up on me, and still took my phone calls every time I was doing stuff, you know, day one again and again and again. So, thank God for the fellowship. Thank God for the steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sarit L. Nadia B., you're up next, followed by Deborah J.
Good morning. Nadia B., recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. Good morning to all my fellow students here. I've been learning so much this morning in this classroom. So I just wanted to compare notes. This is what I have for today. You know, the experiences and my own experiences, that's the only thing that I have. And, you know, no pressure here. And what I'm trying to find out, I guess, here, and that's what the Big Book teaches me, is, are you anything like me? Are you a compulsive overeater? Do you have a sufficient evidence for diagnosis? You know, unfortunately, there's no test for this. You know, it can't do a blood test, or, you know, it's not, you can't detect this disease on MRI. Do you have the stories that I have? Do you have experiences that I had that lead us to know in my heart that this disease is, you know, in you. from your own story, because my experience is definitely not sufficient. I cannot tell you how many sponsors I had in this program and how many hours they spent with me sharing their experiences. You know, were their experiences sufficient for me to detect and diagnose my condition? Not really. So, you know, this is what we have to do. We have to recap our experiences and, you know, get, if you're getting a sketch of my drinking career, you know, it most likely will lead you to be able to share, you know, in a general conversation, some phase of your drinking, which, you know, will help you to see whether you need to be here or not. And that is an individual thing. No lectures to endure. You no need to lecture anyone or sit and hear lectures. And, you know, if you have this disease, I have something to that you can try, the things that I've tried. You know, very, it is suggested for people that are in desperate need for recovery. And I'm just so grateful to be here with you, all my desperate fellows. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Nadia B. Deborah G., you're up next, followed by Jenny H.
Hi, this is Deborah G. from Phoenix, Arizona, compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your chair, and thank you all for all your shares. I just love this meeting. And I remember a sponsor telling me that with sponsorship, all I have to do is share my experience, strength, and hope, and take them through the steps, and love them where they're at, and love them. And that's loving them wherever they're at. You know, if they're not in that first step experience of surrender, still loving them, just loving them. And this disease is pretty powerful. And I know love is pretty powerful. And so I think I'm going to continue doing that because that seems to work. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Jenny H., you're up next. And if I did hear Sherry KB, you're next, but I don't think so. Please go ahead, Jenny H. Star one to unmute, Jenny. Maybe it was Jenny.
Hi, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Thank you.
Great. I'm Jenny H., compulsive overeater, restrictor, recovering in California. Yeah, thank you for this meeting and the opportunity to share. I'm appreciating reflecting on this reading when stuff comes up about reaching out to newcomers. It's always really helpful for me. I've been in program about 2 years and abstinent 6. And just coming up on this, having newcomers approach me and this experience of, being able to recognize my own character defects in the way that I relate to newcomers and try to share my story. And it's been a really powerful mirror for me to see where my self-seeking pops up, where my codependence, how much of my, like, quote-unquote helpfulness is actually codependence. And what I'm hearing in this reading is the importance of listening and meeting somebody where they're at and how much this program offers us an invitation to really practice deep listening and deep humility. And the other thing that really stands out to me is the experience that I have when I am working with a newcomer and getting all wrapped up in my head about, okay, I'm listening to what they're saying and here's what I think they need to hear and I'm going to tell them this story, but I'm not going to tell them this story. And then I do all this like mental somersault that then gets me into a whole other place. And negotiation comes up for me. And anytime I'm in negotiation mode, it's not safe. And I know that that's something that I do with my food. As soon as I get into any kind of negotiation mode with my food, like that's a slippery slope. And what I hear in this reading, and even just from the beginning of this meeting, the way that it's set up to say, we're here to discuss the instructions of the big book, like that's it. It's actually so simple. All I have to do is follow the instructions in the big book. I don't have to get in my head. I don't have to make these negotiations. I just follow the instructions in the big book. And it's such a relief and it's such a gift. Oof. So on that, thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you very much, Jenny H. So we have time for two-minute shares. Anybody want to sign up for that?
Good morning, Lynn.
Hi, is this Sherry KB?
It is. Good morning, Lynn.
Please go ahead. Listen, take a full three because we're yeah, and then we'll just have a short time after that. Okay? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning. And thanks so much for your service, Elaine. And welcome newcomers and everybody on the line. And what people have said is absolutely this is about, we have directions here. And, you know, for me, it just depends on how I end up meeting the person, how I approach them. I have had calls from this line, people talking to me and asking me about, you know, how do I sponsor or how am I a step guide? And that's a different experience for me because they already know about this work. They've heard people on the line. So I do approach it differently. But I also listen to their story and find out, you know, who they are, some background information to see where I can identify in with them because it is all about identifying in and following directions in this book. And if I meet them at a meeting and they come up and they talk to me, that's a different experience that I do with them because I'm listening to them. They might have said, oh, something you said about what do you mean by the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind? And what big book are you talking about? And so I will get into some of that. It depends on how I meet the person. I have ran into somebody that I hadn't seen in a long time. They noticed, I was a yo-yo dieter, and they would notice, you know, I'd lost weight, and they wanted to know how I kept it off. And so I would gently, ease into what I'm, you know, that I'm in OA and whatever. So it just depends on the situation. But I just know that these are exact directions here of telling me how to approach or how to listen to or, you know, to get them to talk about themselves and if they are very serious about the disease and, you know, they're in morbid reflection, I just listen with an open heart and an open mind. And if they're kind of joking around about it and, you know, and I'll listen and tell them a funny story about some escapade I did when I was in the food. And you know, it just depends on, and it is really about identifying in, and it's not about identifying out. And I wanted to say that especially because if I can't relate to the person, I can't help them. If they can't relate to me, then they're not going to want to do this. So I'm all about identifying in and about not identifying out. I also that they were something else. But the thing is it's giving me directions on how to approach a prospect. And I just love this work. And with that, I pass. And thank God for God. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. We have just a minute left. If anybody wants to take that. Okay, I'm just going to share a couple thoughts on this. We really do identify in by sharing our stories, and as I work with sponsees, as we're reading the doctor's opinion, I'll pause and say, have you suffered alcoholic torture? What does it look like? Compulsive overeating torture. What methods have you tried that didn't work? And I ask them to remember that. And when they're getting ready to go out and work with others, we work on their story. We work on their little message, their sort of testimony of what their story is with compulsive overeating, like going into somebody's house and being afraid to sit in the chair because it might break, or getting on the airplane and finding myself squeezed between two people and needing to discovering I need an extender belt, or putting on a pair of pantyhose in the morning and halfway through the day the thighs are all worn out, as are all the thighs on my jeans and things like that. So when we hear those stories, we know this person that we're talking to, even though they're in a right-sized body, understands where I'm coming from. And so, or being at a checkout line without being able to pick up two pieces of candy, not one, two. So with that, I pass, and I just really want to thank everybody who shared with it. Another just fabulous meeting. And we're going to transition to the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So I'm going to ask Kathleen O. to please read A Vision for You.
Sorry, Lane. This is Kathleen O. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.